Now, gracious Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study today, honor the word, the name of Jesus, the precious blood, and O God, have mercy on me. As I deliver this message today, in Jesus' name, help me, Father, to present the grace of God in such a way that some poor sinner will realize that God so loved that he provided salvation for whosoever. Honor the word, the blood, the name of Jesus. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We're now studying the grace of God and salvation by grace. Yesterday, I made a statement that could be misunderstood very easily if you did not pay very close attention to what I said. So I'd like to make the statement again and enlarge upon it just a little bit, and then we'll go right on with our study of the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is misunderstood by many people, and of course some people who are genuinely saved do not realize that they are saved by pure grace minus any effort or merit on the part of man. Grace is grace, and anything added to grace destroys the grace of God. It is grace and pure grace that saves, and we cannot be saved with any mixture of grace and works or human merit. Now, here's what I said. Jesus has done all that Jesus can do for the sinner. Now, I know on the surface you say, well, now, Brother Green, isn't Jesus saving sinners now? He is the Savior of sinners in that he has finished the work that God sent him to do to settle the sin debt. Now, when we believe on Jesus, according to Ephesians 4:32, God Almighty saves us for Jesus' sake. God saves us for Jesus' sake. Now, it is true that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. But now let me show you what I mean when I declare that Jesus has done everything that Jesus can do for you as a sinner. Now, it is up to you to receive him, and if you do not receive him, you automatically reject him, because Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. So it's up to you now to decide whether you will receive what he has done and be saved, or reject what he has done and be eternally damned. You are lost now. You're not going to be lost. If you are not a believer, you are lost right now. But if you'll believe on Jesus, he'll save you right now. Now here's what I mean. Paul said to the Corinthians, I preached unto you that which I first received, and he said, you're saved. Now he said, I preached unto you how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen. Now, beloved, Jesus came into the world, and he took a body of flesh. And in that body, he lived as we live, sin apart. He never committed sin. He was in a body of flesh, just like your body, just like my body. And in that body, he did what no man had ever done or no man could ever do. He conquered the world, the flesh, the devil. And then he was nailed to the cross, and he died, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Now, here's what I mean. When Jesus said, it is finished, into thy hands I commend my spirit, he had completely and thoroughly finished the work of redemption. That is, he had satisfied each little iota of everything that had to be satisfied in order that God could be just and justify the ungodly. Now, Jesus has finished his work in providing salvation, redemption, cleansing. It is finished. And there's not one thing that you can do, or that I can do, or that any man can do to add anything to the finished work of redemption. Now, Jesus, the man, there's a man in heaven, the man, Christ Jesus, is alive. He died to save us. He lives to make intercession for us. He lives as our mediator. He lives as our intercessor. He lives to minister to the believer today, but he died on the cross to save the sinner. Now hear me well, and I'll try my best to put this in a brief statement or two so that you can see what I'm trying by the grace of God to get across to you. God Almighty, in sending, and he did set forth Jesus, Romans 3, you'll read verses 20 on down through verse 28, Jesus was set forth by God the Father, and Jesus took a body of flesh, and he was made in the likeness of men. Now, Jesus took that body in order to be made like unto his brethren in all things. Now, that's in Hebrews 2, and I believe it's verse 17. Jesus was made like unto his brethren. All right. In a body like unto his brethren, living under conditions such as his brethren were living under. In a world where his brethren were, he faced the same devil that the brethren face. Jesus, in a body of flesh, did what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh. Jesus took our place. He lived, yea, he was tempted in all points as we are. He never sinned. They arrested him, and the innocent, sinless Son of God was nailed to a cross because it was a divine imperative that Jesus be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, when they nailed him to the cross, and Jesus hung between heaven and earth, bleeding, suffering, crowned with a crown of thorns, finally, he said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. He finished redemption for the soul. Now, what I mean by that, with the split second that a person believes on Jesus, they are redeemed, that split second. A miracle, yes, a divine, eternal miracle takes place in the heart of one when that one believes in the shed blood and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what happens now, and I'm reading in John 17 and verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." Now that's Jesus talking to the Heavenly Father. He said, life eternal is that they know God, the true God, and Jesus, his Son. Now then, the thing that I want you to see is simply this. Jesus is our salvation because Jesus took our place. He did everything exactly as God willed it to be done. He satisfied God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's law. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Now when Jesus said, "It is finished," he finished redemption, he finished salvation, he finished the sin, that is, he paid in full the sin debt. And now, the only thing that you or I can do, and I cannot emphasize this too strongly, the only thing you can do to stay out of hell is to accept that which is a historical fact, the death of Jesus on the cross, the shed blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something, and it doesn't make any difference what theologians say about it. Doesn't make any difference what evangelists say about it. Doesn't make any difference what anybody says about it. You cannot be baptized to help you become a Christian. You cannot give money to help you become a Christian. You cannot quit your sinning and live a better life to help you become a Christian. Grace saves the murderer just as instantaneously as grace saves a little, innocent, 6, 7, 8-year-old boy. Grace does not look upon sinners as big sinners and little sinners, good sinners and bad sinners. grace looks upon men as sinners, and grace saves to the uttermost and to the guttermost, but in the same identical way, in response to your faith in the shed blood and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has done everything that he can do to keep you out of hell. Now, the thing for you to do is to believe what Jesus has done, receive what Jesus has done, and God will save you. God will save you, Ephesians 4:32. And God will save you for Jesus' sake. And when God saves you, that split second, Jesus becomes your representative before God, your mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5, your mediator. And he becomes your intercessor in 1 John 2 and verse 1 and 2. Little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our mediator. But that is to the Christian. To the sinner, he died to save you. He shed his blood to save you. He finished salvation. He finished redemption. He paid the sin debt. And now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will born you. John 1:13, God will born you according to the words of John as he penned down the words the Holy Ghost gave him. Even as many as believe on the name of Jesus, God borns into the heavenly family. Now, I also made this statement yesterday, and I did not discuss it at all. I said, that it was much, much easier for Jehovah God to make this universe and everything in it than it was for our redemption to be perfected and finished and set forth and provided simply through your faith and my faith. Now, here's what I mean. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, you'll find in verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In verse 6, now this is Genesis 1. In Genesis 1 and verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In verse 6, God said, "Let there be firmament," and the waters divided, and there was firmament. And then in verse 9, the waters gathered. God said, let the waters gather together, and they did, and we have oceans. And then the earth, God said, "Let the earth bring forth." That's in verse 11. And then God said, "Let there be lights," the moon and the sun. Let there be lights. That's in Genesis 1:14. And then God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." Genesis 1:20. Let the waters bring forth. And they did. Millions of fishes and other sea life. And then in Genesis 1:24, "Let the earth bring forth." And of course we have, you know, the animals and all of the birds and everything. "Let the earth bring forth." Now listen very carefully. Listen. Genesis 1:3, "Let there be light." Genesis 1:6, "Let there be firmament." Genesis 1:9, "Let the waters gather together." Genesis 1:11, "Let the earth bring forth." Genesis 1:14, "Let there be lights," sun and the moon. Genesis 1:20, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." Genesis 1:24, "Let the earth bring forth." And brother, God spoke it, God said it, and it happened. But I want your undivided attention, please. When Adam sinned, and of course Eve sinned first, and Adam sinned with her, and they saw their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they hid in the trees of the garden, and God came down and said, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam said, "I'm hiding." And God said, "What have you done?" You know the story. I can't go into it. Now listen. When God rejected the labor of their hands, God rejected their fig leaf garments. God rejected their excuses. They hid, it was no good. God found them. Their excuses, no good. God did not accept them. Their fig leaf aprons, no good. God rejected them. Then the Bible says, God cursed the woman, God cursed the man, God cursed the ground, God cursed the serpent, God cursed everything. The whole creation has groaned ever since. Now, in Genesis 3:15, God did not, and because God is God. Now underline that. Don't you misunderstand me. I said, because God is God. And because God cannot acquit the wicked, if God did acquit the wicked, then God would cease to be God. Because of God's nature, because of God's holiness, because of God's purity, because of God's righteousness, because God is God, God cannot acquit the wicked. So when Adam and Eve sinned, God did not say, let there be forgiveness, let there be redemption, let there be salvation. And so it was. Now, why do I say that? God Himself prepared aprons or garments. God Himself made, M-A-D-E, Genesis 3:21, God made coats of skins. Now, I know some of you folks are not going to believe this. You're not going to appreciate it. But here's what I believe. God with His own hands, and God has hands, yes He does. God slew the innocent animals, and I believe they were lambs. The Bible doesn't say lambs, but Abel brought a lamb, the firstling of his flock. Abel brought a lamb. Why shouldn't I believe there were lambs in the Garden of Eden? God's own hands slew innocent little lambs, and God removed the skins from their bodies. And the blood ran, and God, with a bloody sacrifice, covered Adam and Eve. Now listen and hear me carefully. Even the sovereign, triune, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, eternal God, who could say, let there be light, and immediately there was light. Let there be sun and moon, and they're there. Let there be firmament, and it was there. Let the earth bring forth. Let the waters bring forth. God Almighty, who created all things by simply speaking. When Adam sinned and committed a crime, and sin is a crime, Adam committed a crime against God. God, in all of His power, in all of His wisdom, in all of His might, could not say, let there be forgiveness, because if God had, then God would have ceased to be righteous, holy, and pure. In Nahum, in the book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 2, God cannot acquit the wicked. That is, God could not look upon Adam and Eve, as if they had not sinned. God was compelled to provide a blood covering, and God did. Now, on the next broadcast in the series on grace, I'm going to show you just what providing the Lamb that did take away the sin of the world, I'm going to show you or begin to show you on the next broadcast just how much it cost God and just how much blood it cost to provide the Lamb that said, it is finished. My friend, if you burn in hell, it'll be your fault. God has done everything that God can do. Jesus has done everything that Jesus can do. The Holy Spirit is doing everything that He can do to keep you out of hell. Now, it's left up to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can assure you that He'll save you right now. And put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's all you can do. Jesus paid the sin debt. Jesus brought salvation down to man. And God will save you if you'll only believe on Jesus and put your faith in His finished work. And that's all you can do. God spoke this universe into existence. But when man sinned, it was necessary, a divine necessity, for God Himself to provide a blood sacrifice to make coats at the expense of the blood of innocent animals. And those coats that were bought with blood wrapped up the naked bodies of Adam and Eve, and God accepted the covering provided by God. And that's the only covering that God accepts today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and He'll save you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, honor Thy word, the shed blood, and save every soul that's under conviction. Save some poor church member who joined the church, but they've never been saved by grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.